record. Okay. There we go.
Okay.
Okay, so we're recording. So don't say anything. You don't want recorded.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So last week was very fruitful, I think. So what we worked on mainly was to be sure that we have, for all the RTB crop that we have, meaning like the cassava, banana, sweet potato, and yam. So what we did is what they used to do at BTI, they used to maintain their own OBO file with of the ontologies. So most of them were coming from CO, but at some point they diverged. And so what we took time to do first was to migrate everything on the Planteum repo. So the repo, the master version of those ontologies would be on the Planteum repo. And I also opened issues to let them know when there were terms that were not in a crop ontology and when, for instance, some were not following like the variable model that we have. So when you create a new variable in your database to record the data, you need to have a threat, a method, and a scale. So we did that, everything is clean. So now all the branch, so now all the repo, the master branch is protected. So then every time there is a new push in one of those repos, the someone need to review the change and then accept it. So that helps us to track the changes, to be sure that the CO, what they do on BTI is compatible with what they have been at BTI, and what we have at CO, if someone add threats on the website, then I can be sure that everything is also, they can check that everything is fine for the, on the BTI side and all the databases. So the only file that is missing currently is banana, but Guillaume, who is in charge of the banana ontology there, was like traveling for some, I don't know, some class, bioinformatics class, so was not there at the time. But yeah, he should send, he is supposed to be back like at the end of the week, so by next week, I think we should be able to get the last banana file. So so that was a big part, cleaning up the ontologies and being sure that everything is set up correctly. So that took us some time. And then I started to work on the automatic, like an automatic workflow. So when someone submits a new term on the crop ontology, on the Planteum, so change a file on the Planteum repo, then there will be like an automatic push to the database on the CO website. So when someone wants to download the predictionary, then he can see those terms as the predictionary format. So I've been making good progress on that. It's not ready yet, but I mean, I'm able to get the new version of the file that is pushed to check that to make some check and everything. And then I just need to write the part that puts the data in the database. That's what I need to know.
So is that pulling it through an API or?
Yeah, everything. Yeah, using the GitHub API. Yes. So I set up a webhook. So for now, I'm just testing this automatic step on the sweet potato repo. So I created like a webhook. So every time this is pushed, there is a change on the sweet potato repo that would send a message to like the CO website. And then from that, I can start to do my check, like looking that this is the ontology file that has been modified, and then yeah, get the file and then get the diff and then push that into the database.
Great, that's wonderful.
So yeah, so I hope this will be also done by next week and set up for all the repos, the RTB repos that are on Planteum. And so one thing that we did also when we were there is we created a sort of interface, like a form, where people can go and ask the creation of a new variable for one of the RTB crops. And so when they fill in the form, so yeah, Laurel can show this form. I mean, that's very easy. I'm sure you've seen like a test of it. Yeah, going through like the repo. So that will, from this form, that will create an issue. And then the curator of the ontology, for instance, Guillaume Orianon for banana, Afola for yam and cassava, and Dorcus from SIP and Brian for BTI, yeah. So then they will take care to look that the variable is not existing yet, and then they will make the change in the OBO file. And the idea is really to like, so the main user of this form we hope will be like a breeder. So that's why we didn't want to open an issue directly on GitHub, because most of the time they don't have like a GitHub account.
Right. No, we don't have to create accounts.
Yeah. And just if they have to create the account, it's already like a struggle for them. So what we want is just like this basic form they can fill in to let us know that they need a term. And the idea is not, so currently, how is it working? So they go in the, so this is a season, so this is breeding season, they collect all those data, but most of the time when they need a new variable, they will collect the data, but don't send this new variable to anyone. So at the end of the season, you will end up like a bunch, like let's say 50 new variables that they, for which they have data. And what we want to avoid is that they fill in the trade dictionary and send that to me basically, and then I will have to spend a lot of time doing the curation. So what we want them to do instead is more to let us know one by one. I mean, every time they need something new, they can go to that form and create the issue, because I mean, it will be more efficient for the curation. It will take less time, we think.
Yeah.
And so that's why we created this form. So I will just create an issue on the repo. You can select the crop, and then that will open the issue in the correct repo.
Yeah, and they can fill in their measurement and the type of measurement.
Yeah, so just the basic information. So we don't want them to create like the all information that you need, for instance, that is needed in the traditional dictionary, for instance. But we think that if they fill in these few fields correctly, we will be able to like infer from what they filled in the rest of the information.
Right.
Once so that will be enough. Yeah.
So will they not want to be able to track the issue though?
So yeah, so the idea is every time, so you can do it, maybe you can create a fake variable request.
Okay.
So then they will get, so when they submit, they will be redirected to like the issue that has been opened, and then they can keep the website, you know, keep this URL and follow the changes.
So the request would go to the GitHub tracker?
Yes.
Yeah, so the issue tracker.
So I'll pretend
automatically, yeah. Or you have to do it?
No, automatically. Look, Laurel is gonna do it. Yeah, just make.
I'm doing a test one here, so.
Yeah, just do a test one.
So if I said cassava storage root length.
No, but just put test, because I would think that maybe variable if it's too.
Okay. I'll just say, yeah, I was trying to make it realistic.
No, just make a test, yeah.
And so this is the trait name. Okay, yeah, that's right. Okay, so then I'll select cassava.
Yeah, because the variable can be derived from the trait information, the method information, and the scale information. That's why we don't ask directly to them that they describe the variable.
Okay. And then, so this means they have to fill something in here?
Yeah, they have to fill all the fields. All the fields are mandatory,
okay.
All of them.
Oops, if I just spell it really good. And then this is a...
yeah, let's put visual rating or...
And what is this thing?
The method?
No, this gray box. It's kind of weird, like there's something on top of it. Oh, that's the category. So there's something wrong here because it's...
I don't know why, but I can't really see your screen.
The button is just small. It looks like it says add category, but it's like really crammed in there.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think the button size is just fixed and needs to be allowed to float. It's just a SS issue or something.
Can you see it now, Marie?
No, I mean, there is a big lag.
Oh, well, the add category button is kind of squished together, so you can't...
Oh, okay.
Yeah. But basically, you fill it in, and so...
Yeah, you click one, and then you say a description for the category, one and zero, for instance.
Right. Okay, I'll just put one and zero. Oops. There we go. I'll just put test here. Okay, so then we say submit. Oh, you must have two categories. Okay. Oh, I see. This is like category one, category two. first.
I'll go poke down into her room real quick.
Okay, thanks.
No,
okay, you're on it. All right.
Yeah, the internet went out.
Funkage is on it. All right, here we go.
I'm back. Can you hear me?
Yeah. Yeah.
Can you share your screen again?
Yes.
Thank you.
Sorry, I don't know what happened there. I've got my internet cable plugged in. Maybe I bumped it. Okay, so anyway, we have these two categories.
Yeah, and just submit.
And then I hit submit. So.
Yeah, and just you click on OK. Click on OK and wait. And then it will redirect you to the issue that you just created.
Very nice.
Oh, I see. And it's going to come up saying that, David.
Yeah, for now, because, you know, we still have to create this RTB user.
Right. Okay.
Yeah, so we discussed that, but we have no time to do it actually. Yeah. Right. That's all. So yeah, I will send them an email about that.
That and the category, add category button.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it looks okay on my browser. So are you using Chrome?
No, Firefox. Oh, that's interesting. Yeah. No, I'm on Firefox. That's interesting. Yes.
Yeah, but I mean. Yeah.
So this is what will come up in the repo, and then people, you know, they can act on it.
Yes. Exactly.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, and I see now we have the two different categories with the description. And very nice. So is this will work for any of those four repos yet?
Yeah, it works for the four repos, yes.
Yeah, okay.
It works for cassava, banana, yam, and sweet potato.
It's almost like Term Genie in a way, kind of.
No, because it's just an issue. It doesn't push anything to the ontology side.
Yeah, that's true. But, we could almost create something like this for TO, I think.
Sure. I mean, David...
Nice interface idea.
Yeah, David pushed the code on the Plantium. He created a repo on Plantium. And so if you want to reuse the code for... And deploy that. I mean, it's just Python and JavaScript, basically. Mm-hmm. So I think it's quite light to install on the server. And yeah, I think it's at the top.
It's the variable issue submission. It's up towards the top.
Oh, that's right. So many. I wonder if, I was looking at this yesterday thinking, I wonder if we should call this IBP variable issue submission.
I mean, I don't know. Sure.
I think that is fine right now. Don't worry.
Okay.
It's exciting. It's looking good.
Oh, good. Great. Yeah. So this is the code, David's code. Yeah.
Yeah.
Great. So right now we have the four, let me go back to my notes here. The four are cassava, sweet potato.
Yeah, we don't have potato yet.
We don't have potato yet.
Because SIP is supposed to send us like a potato ontology or traditionally like since months now, and they didn't. Haven't done it yet.
So we're going to have people. And we're also example. So the next ones that are on the mapping would be the yam, mm-hmm. Right?
Yam and banana are the two that they will, yeah, for which I will be working on the mapping. Let's say by the next release, so this month.
Yeah. And then maybe potato later, and we already have cassava and sweet potato in the ontology, but there'll be updates to those.
I mean, few of them. So yeah, I still have to work on some. A few of them. For banana, there will be a lot of new updates.
Mm-hmm.
But Banana, banana is not done. So yeah, now for cassava and sweet potato, there's not many updates, just few threats and variables.
Excellent, excellent. So one of the things that, so is there any other questions or anything about the RTB work and all the stuff that went on there?
One quick question. So right now, all these ontologies are coming from them in the OBO format or in your TD templates?
No, now it will be coming from the OBO format. Mm-hmm. Except if someone prefers to fill in like the predictionary on the CO website, but from there, I will be working also on, they upload a predictionary, I mean, with new threats. And then that will be pushed automatically to the OBO format. So let's say that the master version of the file will be this OBO file.
So they will be maintaining their own OBO files rather than driving something out of the reference tier.
Yeah, you can. Yes. Mm-hmm. That seems there is a mapping.
Yeah, and this is the way they have been working on their own OBO files for a while, for a long time, right? Some of these editors, mm-hmm. the curators. But the problem was they were over in the Soul Genomics mm-hmm. on GitHub. Mm-hmm. And so then the files were out of sync. Mm-hmm. So that's what we were trying to solve, is this synchronization issue.
Okay.
Yeah, so now everything is on Plantium. I agree, it's not on TD. But what would be good is once the mapping are done and everything is like set up, then we can show them that maybe we can work on extracting like an ontology based on the TO plus like Cassava, let's say. Mm-hmm. The hierarchy, but because I don't think they need all the hierarchy anyway, but maybe to have like some, you know, way to set up like the extraction and look only for the term that they need. And then load that in their database. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because most of the time, breeders and their actual breeding tools need only the term names and IDs and definitions. Those tools do not work with the ontology tree. Ontology tree is for analysis purpose.
But the hierarchy is very simple. I mean, it's mm-hmm. just the categories like agronomical, morphological. It's just a matter of finding the term on their browser,
right.
On their website.
So cassava one, I know that, no, didn't we want, cassava was not that many number of traits, right? If I remember it, Afalabi was working on it, right?
Yes.
So yeah, means I think, yeah, checking, let's say, doing a quick turnaround on seeing how we can work with cassava first and get that thing, show them how they can use the TO, then it's less maintenance on their end.
But use the TO for what, Pankaj? I mean, I'm not sure to get it.
Mappings of cassava traits and variables to TO, and then showing them how they can use, based on the mapping, they can use the TO hierarchy to have the OBO file generated for them.
Yeah.
And those done for cassava. Right.
Yeah, just that they are not on the file, because they were on the file that I was maintaining.
Right.
But not on this file, but I mean, I can do that. I mean, like very easily, like most of the threats and variables will have the mapping to the TO.
So there is a difference between the cassava file they're maintaining versus what we are maintaining?
It was not totally the same file, but now this is the same file. So I took care of that. That's why it took like more time than I was expecting last week to do like this curation state, checking mm-hmm. that the two files were compatible. There was no problem with the ID whatsoever.
Yeah.
So now it's, I mean, the version that is called like cassavathread.obo, mm-hmm. this is the file that is clean and has everything on it except the mapping that I have to add. But I can do that in like 5 minutes.
And then what Marie will do is she'll take this file, the cassavatrait.obo, and then she'll modify it for our Amigo display, which is how we, you know, what you requested before, that they has the name cassava in the front.
Mm-hmm. And the variable at the end, for instance.
Variable at the end, or trait, or, you know, so that we have these extra labels. And then it has the mapping the TO in it, right?
Okay. Yeah, I just have to transfer like the mapping from there to the other file. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I mean, it's going to work. I mean, okay. That was
great.
I mean, I think it's going to work. And I'm also looking forward to try how we can extract like term from the TO that can be useful for them. I mean, for their browsing or their ontology in their system. Mm-hmm. I'm sure we can use like subset or stuff. I mean, we can, yeah, just have a meeting with Afola and AMA and then work on the subset and then extract that directly. But before, I mean, once we did that, once we're extracting something that is like TO plus TO, we need to, I mean, they need to be sure that they can, that can be inserted in their database. Mm-hmm. So they will need to do some tests. So we discussed that already.
Okay, great.
So most things are coming, but yeah, I hope that eventually, I mean, we're all going in the same direction.
Let me look up just to have a base here.
So, and I was wondering, did you guys actually talk about getting some data?
Yes, we did. And so we discussed a sort of use case where we can demonstrate. So we thought about like the yield threats and variable, because they have plenty of data for all the crops about that. And so they are just checking with the data owners that it's okay for us to get access to like the yield, the different like variety, not variety, but accession that they have. So we would get like the accession and then the yield data for different variables or different crops. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I mean, Lucas seems open to that request.
It might be good if we get them to display the TO on their cassava base.
Yeah, so that's what they were not sure. So I discussed that with Lama, and she told me she needed to do some tests because she's not sure that this would be working, but yeah.
And that might help when they're... And so from here, there's a link to that form, right?
No, it's supposed to be a link to that form, but I don't think they have been working on that yet.
So I have this, there's one.
Oh, yeah.
Composing the trait, but then it wants me to log in. But you could, I mean, those people would all have a login.
Yeah.
Assuming that you could log in here, it should go to that form.
Yeah, we can ask them. We can have like a meeting like this week or something. Yeah. Touch base.
Alrighty. Yeah, and you know, so this is why they do have their own ontology browser here, where they display it. So Marie, do you know, in terms of keeping this version, is this also kind of interlinked with it, keeping this version in sync with the version that we're displaying? You know how that works?
Now, yes.
Now it's in sync?
Yes.
That's great.
Because this version is what is currently in the cassava-threat.obo file that is on the Pantheon repo.
And you can go in here, you can see what stocks they have and images. There's not much information on that, but... Yeah, and they have one of these for each of the crops, right? Like banana base and...
Yes, the musa base, sweet potato base, the yam base.
Well, I think this is really good. Yeah, I'm glad that you got the chance to go down there and work with them, because that's a big chunk of work.
Yeah. And Lucas was happy and...
And... get some work done with Lucas. So getting back to, so does anyone else have questions about how that's going to work? And
no, this is looking good.
While I was off in New York, Pankaj and Austin and Justin did some fixes so that our NAR paper could get accepted. And so wanted to thank you guys for the heavy lifting there. And while I was in New York, because it would have been hard to try to deal with that while I was gone. And Justin, I was wondering if you could just show us the changes that you made on the browser.
Sure.
So the filter changes on dev, right?
Yeah, so all the changes are on dev. Not all the changes went to live because some of them require a reload.
Right.
So,
I go to search.
Search, sure.
Or, yeah.
Annotations.
Annotations, right. Search annotations, yes.
Actually, go into the search box on the right top. Yeah. And type, let's say, sequence. ECO, yeah. Check.
So here's like experimental phenotypic evidence.
Yeah, click on that.
That might be one.
Well, I don't know if it's actually.
Yeah. So, and then under the related option, there used to be things, the buttons that were not working before, but now, based on some edits, some changes that and Justin worked on, and now you can actually pull all the annotations.
So now the links for annotations will only be there for the ontologies that we specify as, you know, ones we have annotations for, I guess. Mm-hmm. Which right now is just go, POTO, and PECO, now that we renamed it.
So what was the term name that you searched for just now?
It was the phenotypic.
Right. And the filter box, let's say if you say only NRT2, in the right below the total annotation, there's a text box.
Right here, yeah.
Yeah, say something like NART2 or something.
NART2?
Yeah, that's fine. NAR was fine. So now you can actually, and then if you click on the bookmark option, right above, the bookmark, click on this search. Now the URL that you actually get in your search window on the web page address, mm-hmm. That is specifically for this thing. So you
guys, that hasn't really changed. All that's changed is we've now made it easier to limit by evidence code.
Yep.
Right.
That was all.
It's kind of harder to do because you had. I mean, if you go and look under evidence type, well, if you undo your filters and then evidence type, there's not really.
This has been the problem all along. Is a lot of these aren't mapped to the three-letter codes.
Actually, they are mapped, but it's not obvious. It's not displayed.
Right. So, like, say, for example, you're looking at similarity evidence, and then similarity evidence used in manual assertion. They have been mapped based on internal ECO to go, some GAF annotation formats. That is all that mapping was created by Genotology Consortium. So it's working. So that's why you see the numbers are consistent. But I'm not sure if the ECO ontology tree is actually correctly capturing the annotations that are flowing from children to the parent term. We might have to revisit. Then another one is we have, for example, another one, IAG, inferred by association to genotype.
Right.
Genotype. We don't have an ECO for that. We need to work on that.
I think IAGP does have an ECO code now.
We'll find out. There needs to be some tweaking happening here in order to tell which one is an ECO term. So, for example, if you're looking at experimental evidence used in manual assertion, we need to append that term name with the ECO term ID in the end, so that people know what they're actually looking at.
Yeah, I think that actually is an ECO term, but again, it's not.
It's the label.
There's the three-letter code. There's the ECO number, and then there's the plain English version of it. And there's none of them are displayed together at the same time.
Yeah,
so I think there will be some other changes might be required to go overhaul this thing, but a quick fix was to satisfy the reviewer was provide the links that we were just looking at. You can go and search the ECO terms and find all the annotations to it.
So we do have this evidence code page, and
yep.
We had this before, right? This isn't new.
No, this one isn't new, but this needs some more updates to be consistent with the evidence codes that are listed on Go and all of
that. And these link out to the Go page.
Yeah.
Right.
And those are details.
Yeah.
But if you go on the gene ontology, there's a link for evidence. There's some evidence codes that are missing in ours, like EXP. We don't have that. But we do have data for that. So we need to be making it.
So we need to update that or add that to these. And, you know, it'd be good to put the ECO numbers in here.
Yes. So there is actually thing available. I believe so. Go and ECO mapping research. Here, I'm sending you the link in the chat.
Okay.
I just sent you a link in the chat. There is a mapping file, so we need to be maintaining a mapping file.
This one is not a good
thing. You're not logged in to their wiki. I don't think it's open.
Oh, okay. Yeah, but we can.
Yeah, we can always go back and look at it. Sometimes I don't agree with those, but I have not reviewed the ECO at all. So,
and if I understood correctly from the conversation, to get those ECO numbers and stuff to show up, we'd actually have to have the ECO modified.
I don't think it needs to be modified. That was a quick hack.
Well, no, to get the stuff to show up under the evidence type, I think what they were saying was is for it to show up there, that wasn't coming from OwlTools. That's coming from ECO directly. So there's nothing we can do in Amigo. It's something in the ontology.
You mean on our
filter? Where it says direct assay evidence, if you want that to say like ECO, blah, 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 or ASE or whatever it is, that needs to be changed in the ECO itself. I think that's what they were saying, but I might have misunderstood.
No. I think they need to rewrite the facet, how it fetches the information.
Well, that's what I'm saying is I think, well, okay, that might be possible too, but I think they were saying for now.
For now,
it's going straight from ECO.
So no. What for now, as a quick hack, what Chris Mungle was suggesting is that the term name itself can carry or appended with a suffix ECO ID in it. And then if you do that, then it is part of the term name and then ECO would show up over here.
Right, but doesn't that need to be done on the ECO?
No, we just copy that file and do the hack, modify the file ourselves.
Oh, so fork our own ECO?
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess that's possible.
Yeah. It's possible, but let's hold
on. Then we have to update it every time they change it, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, and since it was not a very high priority, so.
And what would be good is if we could make, if these evidence could be a link, you know, like if IDA could be a link to the way these are, you know, like to the term. Mm-hmm. Like if you could click here, I think it's almost would be more useful to have the three-letter code appended here. Because then
I can't go from the three-letter code to a link for each code. Like I can't go IMP to ECO, 5.9 or whatever, because there's no
right. That would have to be
no built. Mapping already that knows how that happens.
Oh no, there is a mapping actually. I'm just
saying.
Well, there's no mapping in Amigo.
Right.
No, it's not Amigo, but I think they are reading the evidence code ontology mapping somewhere. Check it out in Amigo. So I'm just sending it to you and Log.
Yeah, and you know, I mean, I've kind of complained about this evidence filter for a long time and no one really paid any attention to it. But I think it's kind of confusing to the user. I mean, because there's so many.
Yeah.
Well, it's because it loads the entire tree, not just ones that we actually have.
Right, and it doesn't have any hierarchy, so it's confusing when you look at it, and then the codes over here, you don't really know how they relate.
Right. Yeah. That would require a rewrite of the facet search.
Yeah. But, go back. Can you open it?
Just one question before we go back. Justin, is there a way we can get the ECO to be displayed in the tree here?
It will not be. And I don't want it right now.
But, you know, because then the user could come in and they could browse down through the tree.
But it would mess a bunch of other stuff up, because for it to show up on the list, I have to tell it that it's one of our internal ontologies. And that would mess other stuff up.
So, Lol, you need to understand, and the reason why we are not showing it here as of now is because it is not a primary annotation. It is.
I understand support. That.
So that's why I think the ontology tree of ECO, as well as for taxonomy and other things, are not showing up here. Those are just alien ontologies used to support the primary annotation.
Yeah, I mean, I understand that, and you know, this whole thing that this reviewer brought up was.
Nah.
Side issue. I mean, I didn't think it was a huge issue, but you know, but I think this is definitely an improvement to our interface, and that's great. So,
yeah. Okay, and another change, what he did was under the, if you go click on the tools and resources.
Okay.
Base statistics.
Statistics at the very.
I got that for a minute.
It was not calculating non-GEO annotations.
And at the very bottom.
Yeah, so he's trying to, I think he's fixed it. It started coming.
But yeah, it now shows more than just Go annotations in there. And it now also shows the inferred by electronic.
And IMP.
Oh, it looks like I need to change that text up there still.
So this is not just Go annotations now.
It's not. I changed it on the graph, but I guess I forgot to change that link.
That's kind of cool.
That's fine. And yeah, and I believe the graphs are still limited by the number of species that they can show.
Well, no, actually, it turns out, found out the bug is, it only can display so many on the bottom, but the graph is actually correct. If you zoom in and pan towards the bottom, you'll see more there.
Like on here, Justin?
Yeah, so if you notice that one bar that's really tall kind of looks like it's in between. Well, now I can't read it.
Sorry.
It's in between the F for Arabidopsis thaliana and G for thaliana. But if you zoom in, it's probably actually on something other than those.
How do you zoom in?
There's a bunch of buttons on the top of the graph.
Oh, I see. Okay.
And you might also need to zoom in and pan down towards the bottom.
Doesn't seem to be doing
so,
it.
So bring your mouse right above the species.
There we go. Yeah. Oh, I see. And these are the aspect and then the species. Okay.
Right. And so I set it so that it adds other acts. Oh, it doesn't pan. You have to hit the pan for it to actually show up.
Which is the pan?
I think it's the crosshairs. No.
So that's back to the regular.
Right. It's the one next to that one. Oh. So now you can drag. And now all of them will show up there.
Oh, I see. Very cool.
And they were before. And that, remember, we had the same issue with the top one for the different species, because we went through, oh, let's just pick the top 19 or 20 or whatever species it was. Because if we put more than that, then it wouldn't show up correctly. It's the same thing. It's a bug/feature in Plotly, which is the code that does the graphing.
So is there a way to just transpose the whole graph?
Nope, that's the link to the
top. What do you mean transpose? I mean flip the axes? I don't think that would help anything.
I don't know. We may be able to see a little bit more, right? Oh, but if the code's the graph width is fixed in the code, then there is no way.
Right.
How come there's nothing? I missed what you were saying about this. How come there's nothing on ZMAs or Rice?
This is on dev, so.
This is dev.
That's right. Just looking at what's loaded here, right?
Right.
And so this will be implemented in the new version once we reload on live.
Yeah, this is the thing that I couldn't do to live. Mm-hmm. Because it has to recalculate all the statistics.
Right. So once when we do our release in December, we'll see this.
Yeah.
Nice. Very
well,
nice.
Well, I mean, to be fair, it's just the bottom graph, the adding of the non-Go annotations. The other stuff is already there.
So, but in the second...
I just didn't know about you needed to zoom and pan to be able to see the other ones.
So in the evidence type on the second graph, it's using the three-letter ones, right? not the ECO.
No. I have to specify it using the like author statement. I have to say it as that.
So these are based on the three letter codes?
No.
Then ECO?
Yeah.
Okay.
So like author statement is an ECO code that includes the traceable author statement and non-traceable author statement.
Yeah, there are multiple mappings to
that. Right, but it's a single ECO code.
Okay.
Yeah, so we should probably have a mapping to these too so we know exactly what they're pulling.
Mm-hmm.
We can
that's what I had to do to get the IEA ones to show up on that bottom graph, is I had to figure out exactly which ECO code
right
that it actually was for.
Okay.
Good.
Very nice. Well, we're getting down to the end of the hour. Before, let's go back to the notes here. Is there any other things you guys wanted to point out there? Is that good? I think that's very interesting. So the other thing that I wanted to share with you guys is we've been working on some changes in the plant experimental conditions ontology, which was formerly called plant environment ontology. And I'll just go back to the homepage here. So, I need the dev one. Too many windows open here. So we've got this, when we were at the meeting in June, we worked with Chris and talked with Pankaj about this and got an agreement that we were going to change the namespace from environment ontology to the plant experimental conditions ontology. So now on DAB, you won't see this on live, of course, until it is released, but we can go in and browse it now. And all the label ID names have been changed to PICO. And so we can access it now. So we're still cleaning up a few things.
Yeah, like I said, I think we need to change all the annotations, yeah, right?
But that'll be easy.
Simple. PICO to ECO, right?
We can change that easily. And so if people see this other places where we need to update, then we can go ahead and change them there. And I noticed yesterday when I was looking at, and this has been updated at Obo Foundry. We got that work fixed yesterday. I don't have it open. We have it fixed at Obo Foundry now. So this is really great to get this done. We had a little talk with Chris while we were down there and got that change made. So, and then we're kind of cleaning up all the last little odds and ends. This has a little typo in it, but I fixed it. And what we did in the repo was, of course, for these pearls on Obo Foundry, we needed to have a file for them to go to, which we didn't have release versions of the file yet. So Marie helped create those. Let me just go to GitHub here. Here we go. Yeah. So we created a release version of the working version right now. And then now we have a edit version. So this is the one that will be loaded onto dev. And then I guess, Justin, you'll need to set up your cron job to convert that to owl.
Oh, right. Yeah.
I think we should not do that. I mean, we should be using the meg file. I mean, the meg file is not ready yet, but we should be using the meg file and use the meg file to transform. So every time someone push a Obo file, edit this file, you should be running like the meg file to create the old file mm-hmm. end of the day.
But that would change the pico.obo and the pico.owl.
No, not necessarily. So there is several like part of the meg file, and we can have one only to create this old file.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. So the setup of this repo is a little bit different, but this than the TO and the PO, but this actually conforms to the way that Chris is trying to get ontologies to set their repos up. So we went with his recommendation on how to set up this structure here. But so far it seems like it's working, and it I saw one note that we had talked about having the EO terms as alt IDs. And that's one thing we didn't do. And so I kind of have that on my list. I think maybe that's important because if we have people searching for legacy terms.
So what happened? Did we change the ID?
No, the IDs are all exactly the same. IDs are the same. It's just the namespace change. Oh, okay. Yeah, no, the numbers have not changed. No.
Yeah, if you want, Laurel, I can add like for every term like an alt ID.
Yeah, with the ID.
That would be with the EO.
Yeah.
The EO number.
Yeah, because that's actually Chris had a note about doing that.
But alt ID would be exactly the same as the regular ID.
But it will say EO.
EO, yeah, just the namespace will be different.
So if somebody comes and looks for EO, so I don't know if...
But what is the ID right now?
Okay, so like plant treatment is Pico.
Oh, you changed the initials to Pico.
Right, the namespace, yeah. That was the whole...
Why did we change the initials to Pico? We could have just left it as EO.
Well, that was the big discussion that we had with you when we were here in for...
Yeah, because this will change, you know, for, let's say, for Grameen or other things. Yeah.
I should point out, for what I haven't tried looking into it at all, but it's still pulling in the old EO as an import from something.
It is coming from Grameen annotations.
Well, no.
There's no EO annotations loaded.
Yeah,
probably from the catalog file. I think you need to like trash your old catalog file and replace it with a new one. So I don't know, because you are using a catalog file, right, to load the ontology on the browser.
I did that. Oh, looking at that link right there in the middle, it looks like the imports are coming from TL.
Ah, yeah. So that's okay. I would change that. Okay.
Here, right?
Yeah. So I think there's something in TO saying, oh, hey, you need to import this. And that needs to be changed too.
That needs to be updated. Yeah. And we're also working on, we have all these design pattern files and so on. And so we're still kind of working on those details. Those spreadsheets will need to be updated. And so, yeah, but it's a big improvement. And as we move ahead towards, so here's the edit file. And then this is coming in from TO. Yeah. So we'll need to fix that. So yeah. So this is good. This is a big step forward that we've been talking about doing for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I met with the young lady from the Mikuch lab who we've been working on those TO terms with, and had a little time to spend with her and talk about the traits that they had requested. And so those are in progress and will be wrapped up pretty soon here. She wasn't sure if they can share any of that data. They're annotating a lot of QTL papers and so on with our TO terms. And so I kind of suggested it, and we're going to talk about it some more. And she was going to talk with the other people in the group and see if we can access some of that data, which was one of the other goals for the trip. So, yeah, and I had Marie and I had dinner with Alejandra, which was really nice.
Excellent.
With Alejandra a little bit and catch up with her. So that was great. It was a really, really good trip, kind of a short trip for me. And Marie, you managed to get out of Ithaca before the big storm hit.
Yeah.
Man,
I was very lucky. Yeah.
You know, in New England, there's like millions of people. Well, maybe not millions, but thousands of people that have no power as of yesterday.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because they had huge high winds. So it's good that we got out of there when we did. So I think we need to kind of wrap up here. We're getting past the end of the hour. Is there anybody else that have updates or things you want to share? Barry, we haven't heard much from you today. How are things there? Any updates from your end?
I have a couple of points, very trivial points, which I will send to you by email.
Okay.
I don't think I have any generally interesting updates. The work that you described, the new tool, looked very impressive, but that's where I have some points. If you think about one or two terminological practices. Also, when you change the the EO namespace to PECO namespace,
mm-hmm.
you should really do a Google search to find out anywhere where they're using PECO labels and warn the people that you're making this change. I don't suppose there'll be very many, but there may be some, and they may be annoyed if you don't warn them.
Wait, yeah.
Actually, Pico is being used by Pico.com.
That's all right. No, I'm interested in people using EO in the sense of what is now called Pico.
Right.
Right. They should be easily found. I don't think we can change people who are already using Pico for other purposes.
Right.
Although it would be nice if there were no other people, but.
yeah, I agree. So that's probably a good idea. I mean, and I think one of the main places is probably Grameen.
Mm-hmm.
And we're aware of that.
And Grameen is not going to touch that database where it is being used as EO, because that is a, what do you call it, as it's an archive.
Right.
Okay, but you should warn them in any case. You should make sure that you have spoken personally to the responsible people, because they may turn around in 4 years' time and suddenly realize that they've been maintaining two separate things as if they were two, when in fact they are one.
Yeah. And one thing, excellent job, you, Lal, Elizabeth, and Murray, on contributing on the wheat paper.
Yeah, the wheat
that appeared in the Faculty of Thousand, I think, reports or something like that.
Yeah.
And I'm still reading it. I was wondering, is Plantium being discussed or anything mentioned about Plantium in that, considering three of the co-authors are from Plantium?
Well, at the time, you know, what we're recommending using the Plantium ontologies. And let me just pull it up here. I'll see if I can look at the paper in my email. It's not even open. And Plantium is on the website that you go to for it. Plantium is listed as one of the adopters, of course.
Yeah, I think we should be saying something about using ontologies, reference ontologies. So if
that's definitely that's the main idea of the recommendation.
If there is a scope to actually say certain things about Plantium in that, on how to use them, that would be fantastic. And another one was, if you guys can ask them to cite your funding, that would be better too.
Oh yeah, we should do that. And you know,
always, if you are a co-author, always cite your funding.
That's a good point. Yeah. And
I think in Faculty of Thousand, it is allowed to create a version, different version, right?
Yeah. Here's the,
That paper is online, actually.
Right, that's what I was trying to pull up, but this gave me the PDF again. But yeah, so I've noted those two things. Yeah, so there's actually another version already. Yeah, this is an interesting format. I haven't had much experience with this Faculty of 1000, so this open review process is kind of interesting. But I'll make sure that those two things get noted in there.
Yeah, I think it's always referring to AgroPorter portal and referring to CO0321 and CO020, but there is no mention about the primary things are coming from CO that is being managed by Plantium or being co-managed by Plantium and things like that. So I think Plantium needs to be introduced there and encouraging users to use the reference in conjunction with the wheat or wheat-related crop ontology that we have. And then obviously citing, sharing annotations with Plantium and other databases and funding. There's a lot of ontology talk, but it's only AgroPortal in that paper.
Okay, yeah, we'll definitely make sure that those things get added. Definitely. The good point, Pankaj. Yeah, mm-hmm. We need to make sure that the funding acknowledgement is in there. So yeah. Okay. Good. Good. Well, I think that's it for today.
Yeah, and that's all, and maybe sometime later in 2 weeks' time or 3 weeks' time or maybe 1 or 2 weeks in continuation in December, we should talk about what do we want to do in the renewal and how do we prepare? Do we need to do some prior work or to show some, we are already working on it, but in order to propose new things, do we have to do some homework? and generate some prior results to show that how this would be pulled out, pulled off kind of things, not pulled out, pulled off. So like a brainstorming sessions for at least 2 weeks in and then come up with some solutions and how we want to do it.
That sounds good. So we can meet again on the 14th of November.
Either November or December, I would just say, and then start, and then we meet again in PAG, so we can always work on getting some things done.
For sure, that sounds good. And I did set up the on the last call we had talked about creating some Google Docs, and I set those up.
Yeah, and those and Austin, any report on the papers that you are working on? Can't hear you.
Got to work. Got to unmute first. No, I'm just cobbled together an outline. I've shared it with Chris and Yorit, and so I'm trying to work on the GRIN annotation one first. It's hard to not overlap too much with the ICPO paper that I wrote a little while back. There's stubs for each of those, and
yep.
And are you're putting those on Drive?
Yeah, they should be in that folder that you shared with me. At least one of them is that I linked to Yorit. I have the other two in my folder. I think I added them to that one, but if not, I can throw them in there shortly.
Yeah, that'd be good. Let's keep this in the shared space.
Yeah, and do we have something like Plantium Publications, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
That folder, that's right. I'm sorry, this was right before I left.
There you go, yeah. Samira Tool is where I keep mine.
Right, and Murray, you are working on one too? Oh, you were busy traveling.
Yeah, I was busy traveling.
Yeah, we started this folder for this. We didn't get much time to work on that when we were in Ithaca, but we'll continue on that.
Great. Quick one. Justin, are we working on how to do the annotations for reference genomes using Go annotations and sending them back to Ensemble and UniProt? And Austin, myself, and Justin Elser are working on it. So idea to start with RISE, and let's see how we pan out with the UniProt guys. We want all our annotations to go in there as well. So that's one area that we're working. So Justin, have you done any progress on that? I didn't know that you were working very hard on getting this.
Yeah, I mean, I haven't touched it since we were dealing with a reviewer stuff, but as far as I remember, yeah, we got the IPR scan and target P and all those tested and loaded, except for the only issue with the annotation that we did have was some missing references that Austin was adding to the file.
Yeah, I'll put them into the TO. I talked to Punkage about it.
Okay.
They're going to look a little out of place, but I'll just hide them there at the bottom like the other ones.
Okay, good. Excellent.
Pankaj?
Yes?
Could you and I have a word after this call, maybe with those stay online, to talk about ICPO?
Yeah, absolutely. Give me a call on the Skype in 5 minutes after that.
Okay, very good. What's your Skype name, just in case I don't have it?
It's PJ Swallow.
Okay.
You are in my contacts.
Very good.
Okay, good. Well, I think we better wrap up there then. Thank you, everyone. We'll talk in 2 weeks.
Sounds good.
Okay. Yeah.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Great. Happy Halloween.
Oh, happy Halloween.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye.